Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Here's a tip. Never lend your bike to a bar. I'm Lowell Ryland, Bob Ryland, the governor, Arkansas, up in Alaska.
I had to run my husband out of the damn house and turn him outside with the catfishers out there.
You're a dummy.
And my hammer on.
985 to Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich.
And my hammer on.
These are all real, and these are all calls to the Paul Feinbaum show. Paul Feinbaum is on ESPN, but I believe his radio show is essentially syndicated in like every city and town in the Southeast.
Right. They just say, all right, where are the lowest SAT scores in the country? Let's syndicate Paul Feinbaum.
Yeah, basically.
And it's just a big old circle of red down there in the Southeast because that's what they love talking about, college football. And, man, it is just, I mean, it is king down there. If you ever were wondering just how big it is, just know that on a Sunday, an NFL Sunday, like the Atlanta Falcons could be page two or three because the Georgia Bulldogs you played the day before are going to be front page news.
Or if you go to and read the Knoxville paper in July, there's two writers and they both cover Tennessee football. There's right. Only two writers that work for the paper.
Uh-huh.
And so literally every single day, short of like the Super Bowl, I would imagine, there's something about Tennessee football on the front page of the paper.
Without a doubt. And so if you're just trying to figure out what kind of person calls the Paul Feinbaum show, and I'll give him credit. He lets him talk. He lets him just say your piece, and he just kind of sits back and does it. This is the kind of gentleman. Now, we've met this guy before, but just to give you an example of what kind of people are diehard Paul Feinbaum fans, let's listen to this guy.
Hey, Smokey.
Paul.
Hey.
You're not believing this. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. First, I got to get a witness. Hold on. Tell her where you are. It's Paul.
I'm a nurse in the ER at Trinity.
Okay. I'm speaking to a nurse right now at Trinity Hospital, right?
I'm getting an EKG that said I've had a heart attack. Paul, I love your show. I agape your show. I love all your listeners. I'll end up being your best caller.
So, Smokey, are you telling me that you're listening to the show while you're having a heart attack?
Yes, sir, I am. That's stupid, I know.
Now,
yes, sir. They told me I got to hang up the phone, Paul.
So you're before you hang up, you're in the ER right now.
At Trinity Hospital.
You've had a heart attack. You're in the ER getting an EKG, but you're calling us.
What's why I call you Smokey? I'm wondering. Just... Maybe I'm calling you through my trach.
Yeah. He doesn't sound like a thin man.
But because I love you, Paul, and I've went through three batteries trying to call you.
Now, how did you get to the hospital?
I drove myself.
And you're pretty sure you had a heart attack?
I've already had five bypasses and two stents, and now I've had a heart attack.
Okay, but you wanted to call us while this is going on.
Kind of a death wish.
Well, I'm glad you did, and certainly, Smokey, we wish you well.
That's what it seems too.
Just like he goes, I love you.
He lived a good life. He got on the Paul Feinbaum show.
Yeah. I love you. I love all your callers. Big family. Meanwhile, his two kids are sitting there holding his hands. All right, Rich.
Sorry, my last dying breath. I want to be able to say Bama sucks.
Yeah, well. Saban cheats.
War Eagle.
War damn Eagle. So some people take losses well, some people don't. And some people call in to tell you just how bad the losses are to the people and things around them. This was after last year's Alabama loss to Clemson. Big national championship game. We remember that. It was the 2017 national championship game.
Yes.
This one affected more than just him. Let's take a listen.
For taking my call,
and it's been a rough night, and I'm got to babysit my fiance's two dogs today. One of them's Doodle, one's Sabin. And, of course, Sabin's not taking the loss well, but I was wanting to ask you about...
Your dog is named Sabin, is that correct?
Yes, sir, yes, and he's not been right. He won't eat today. He's just been all upset and just wanting to scrap his brother Doodle all day, and he's just not taking it very well.
All right, son of Sam, thank you for calling in. Jesus. Appreciate that.
And then he told me to murder several people.
Yeah. What else is he telling you to do?
He's saying kill, just over and over. He don't like that loss, and I'm going to stab somebody in the throat today if that's cool.
All right. The
dog's saving Wayne taking it very good today. And then there's the callers who call in who always got something to say about a caller who was on earlier,
right,
who they do not agree with. So this is Jim calling in and saying he does not like Dave, who called earlier, who had an opinion, a hot opinion about Bama. And little did he know, Feinbaum had a certain someone on hold.
Oh, boy. Time. He's going to pit them against each other.
You know, he laughs at everything. He just laughs. He's a nothing, Paul. He's a freak. Yeah, I get mad.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Jim.
Okay.
Let me reverse the roles, and you're sitting in my chair. What do you do?
I think you come back like you've done in the past occasionally and make a creditable comment about how outrageous what he's saying is, and you cut him off, just like you've done I-Man and a few others. That's what I think you do. You show integrity. If you show it, everybody follows your lead. And
hey,
then
Dick.
A fool. Go ahead, Paul. And then
hey,
a freak
Dick.
And a fool.
You got a problem with me, Dick? You want to meet up, big boy?
All right. Now, here we go.
Let's get ready to... I can't say it. We'll get sued.
No.
Tumble.
Careful. You want to get together? All right. Okay. The Greyhound can drop me off in your town in 2.5 hours. You want to meet up as soon as I get this Camaro off these blocks? I'm coming to get you.
You want to meet up, big boy? Who's this? Little boy? Who do you think it is, you jackass? You
is this the retard drunk
jackass?
I don't know who you're talking about.
You don't know nothing about me,
you freaking freak, and everybody knows you're a freak. And
I
screw
you.
I'm
just paying you to get away from hell.
Wait, what? You straight jacket?
You're wearing hillbilly.
Oh, well, as opposed to me, who's a man of great refinement.
I just, after that, him, I was just like, sold to the man in the back.
Yeah, sold.
Hey, Paul.
I have a feeling all these guys' weddings involved a shotgun.
You think so?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, and Rich, finally, there's a superstar.
There is a lady who does call into Paul Feinbaum, and she called in once and said that she learned that her daughter was a lesbian, didn't quite know what it was, and she called in, and apparently she's got a little bit of a story, a backstory. Let's hear from...
From Mildred?
Yeah. 80-something-year-old Mildred.
Yeah, 80 years young.
I was talking about Coach Bryant.
Now, you were the one who had something going with Coach Bryant. Is that correct?
Yeah, and his act been hung up on
Well, I apologize to you. I shouldn't have done that.
I told my son about it after me and his daddy divorced.
So you told your son about you and Coach Bryant?
Yeah.
I used to take his hat off and rub it all over my nude body. Oh, Bear. You know why they called him Bear?
Why?
Because he was a hairy animal.
He was a furry man.
He was a furry man. He was rough like a bear. But old Mildred didn't mind. Mildred liked a little danger between the sheets. I used to bang Bear Bryant. I'm a million years old. You know, I had... sex with Warren G. Harding.
I told my son about it after me and his daddy divorced.
Son, sit down. Let me tell you about all the men I've had sex with. You'd be very surprised. The list is long.
Her son's like 60.
Exactly. Well, hell, half your friends. The trailer was like a... It could have used a dang...
Bear Bryant got married in 1935.
Yeah, he used to bang him behind his wife's back. I could have used a revolving door on this trailer. I had suitors. They'd come over with a bottle of moonshine and a pack of smokes, and I'd let them do me.
Is that the price of admission?
Yeah. Bear Bryant came over in his Packard. And he said, let me take you for a ride. We didn't go but 10 feet before we went in the back seat, and I rode him. Back then, it took a while to get your britches off.
Breeches.
Bear Bryant, I'll tell you what, he would use his mouth to take off your undies. He was a physical man. I wouldn't call him a caring lover. He'd get done practicing with those boys, and boy, did he want to spank me. Old Mildred, felt like she was revisiting good old punishment.
What?
You know what? Back then, electricity wasn't as good as it is today. So... Bear would like it when I dropped hot wax on him. He'd scream and scream.
That's helped him with his hair problem, I'm assuming, after a while.
Oh, he had hair everywhere.
So you told your son about you and Coach Bryant?
Yeah. And I never could have a good relationship with his daddy because I was always thinking about the bear.
I used to tape a picture of Bear Bryant on your daddy's chest. Oh.
I don't know how much I can say.
That's what I was thinking.
I'll tell you what, it was a weird situation when I would go to Alabama games. Hell, I'd do anyone. I'd get so worked up.
Do you still think about him?
Well,
I dug him up not 2 weeks ago.
Oh, man. Oh, Jesus.
Well, I'm 84 year old. I was a young girl back in the day.
Yeah.
I was up there at the football office, or the thing, you know, where all the coaches have their office.
And you were just up there visiting?
Well, I was up there because I was helping out at the university.
You worked there?
No, I was just helping out.
Helping out. And you bumped into Coach Bryant?
Well, he walked out there.
And he said, ass crash or ass. We ass crash or cash. No one rides for free. And let's just say I didn't have any gas or cash. You know, he had the big Scott Joplin sticker on the back of his car.
He used to follow him around. Yeah, he was like a super fan of Scott Joplin. He was the Maple Top.
Oh, did he love ragtime? He didn't care if it was ragtime.
One day, and of course, we all know who he was because he's the coach of football.
No, you were lending a hand?
So, Steve.
Right.
And he asked me how I was and what my name was.
And you said Mildred.
Yeah, Mildred. And
he said, my name is?
Paul.
Paul.
Yeah, he said.
That's what he called himself.
He put his arm around me and said, you call me Paul.
And what happened after that, Mildred?
And then we went back to some room and, like, yeah, we Bump Douglas.
You what?
Bump Douglas.
What?
Yeah, wait. Bump Douglas. Bump Douglas.
Nothing I can add to that.
Because I was always thinking about the bear.
Mildred, what did you do with him?
Bump Douglas.
Can you imagine sitting down with your son? Yeah. I gotta let you know that Bump Douglas.
Yeah, wait. Bump Douglas. Bump Douglas.
Jesus. How does Fine Bomb keep it together? How does he do that?
Because he's smart. He could be cackling with laughter. Who knows? I think he just turns off the mic.
But even so, you have to answer the woman occasionally, and you hear some residual laughter after that. I don't know how you man is has a mind of steel.
Ugly.
Jesus! Oh my God!
That is fantastic.
Because I was always thinking about the bear.
Jesus. She's great. Oh, boy, is she great. She's the one who said she had hemorrhoids and her daughter was a lesbian, right?
And my hemorrhoid.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, maybe he gave her the hemorrhoids. I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah, wait. But that bitch.
Oh, the pressure. Oh, the ugly.
Bump Douglas.
Oh my goodness!
And my hammer on.
All right. Well, listen, that was worth it, but we ran a little late. I could listen to Mildred all day, no matter what she does. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk to Jeff Howe. Perhaps he knew Bear Bryant.
Here's
the new CBS Sports Minute brought to you by New Pro Home Improvements.
Yeah, wait. Bump Douglas.
Toucher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Jeff Howe, our friend, Patriots beat writer for TheAthletic.com, kind enough to join us. Hello, Mr. Jeff Howe.
What's going on, guys?
We are doing fine. Yesterday, it seems, there's so much to cover, but yesterday it seems that a lot of drops. Brady punted a ball in frustration, and Rich informed me earlier today that Zolak believes that the ball, he was not joking.
Right? Well, he didn't believe. He just said that he had a theory, and that was that he might have punted into the stands because, and he, as he said, he wasn't making a joke, that the ball might have been overinflated and he didn't want to use that ball anymore, that he just was sick and tired of having that ball there. So he punted into the stands. What did you read from the frustration yesterday, the drops and everything in yesterday's practice?
Yeah, I mean, it was his last throw of the day, and it wasn't his sharpest, that's for sure. So there was sort of a breakdown on the play. The protection wasn't great. Brady kind of slid backwards in the pocket and then tried to hit James White on the right sideline and sailed the throw and was a little behind him, and White had really no chance to catch it. So Brady ran toward that sideline, asked for the ball back. Somebody threw it to him, and then he immediately punted the thing into the stands. So I think that was really just the culmination of a long, frustrating day, whether it was drops from the receivers. Although Brady only, in the competitive team drills, Gronk was the only person who dropped a pass from him. And Deckard dropped three and some side work. But just in terms of the 11-on-11 stuff that I put a lot more weight in, Brady only had one drop, while Hoyer had, I think, like four or five with his guys. But, I mean, really the totality of it, there were missed blocking assignments. There were two poor routes from Eric Decker. And, you know, Brady was off on, you know, two or three throws, which, you know, is beautiful, about one or two more than he has a day. And, you know, he also struggled to get into a rhythm with Chris Hogan, which is weird. Hogan has more catches on Brady passes than anybody else in camp, but Brady was one of five on throwing to Hogan yesterday. So, again, I think it was just the totality of a frustrating day. He forced the ball downfield to Philip Dorsett that was intercepted by J.C. Jackson. Again, Brady probably realized that was the final snap of the day and took it out on the poor football.
Is Decker going to make this team?
To this point, he still has a lot of work to do. I mean, he could, because really, I think factoring in Edelman's suspension, you got Hogan and probably Dorsett, but I'm not going to put my neck on the line and say that anybody else beyond that is a lock. I mean, you include Matt Slater as a special teamer, but I mean, you could make the argument right now that Dorsett could be the third receiver in week one. You could also make the argument that he's going to be the first guy cut, but you could say that with just about every receiver on the roster, not named Hogan or Dorsett, 3 weeks from now.
To follow up that, how worried are you about that? I mean, you know, you saw what happened yesterday, and obviously yesterday was, from everything I hear, the worst day as far as being on the same page and the drops. But, I mean, if you just said it right there, if you think Decker has a possibility of being your third receiver, how big of an issue is that?
The inconsistency has got to be frustrating. And, you know, Kenny Britt still isn't participating in team drills. And I don't know. I mean, I know they're taking it slow with him. I don't know why they're taking such a slow approach. I mean, again, maybe they feel so confident about the work that he put in the spring and the summer. But, again, you know, you still want to see him running around with Brady. You look at Cordarrelle Patterson. Yeah, Patterson's made some incredible highlight reel types of catches in practice. But I looked it up yesterday. The last time that Patterson and Brady hooked up for a pass was the second day of training camp. And that's talking about team drills. That was a not even a padded practice. So those two guys haven't even connected when they've had pads on, which is concerning because, yeah, I mean, it's great to go out and catch a bunch of balls from Brian Hoyer, and I would have said the same thing in the past with Jimmy Garoppolo, but it really doesn't matter. I mean, you look at, you know, guys like Brian Timms and Devin Lucien have had great summers with backup quarterbacks. It doesn't mean a thing until you are truly on the same page with Brady at practice. So, yeah, I mean, it's just any number of guys. You're just looking for that consistency. And, you know, so far, I mean, again, you know, Kenny Britt could come back at any moment and start to wow some people, maybe. But again, you have to see it. And this is the time, you know, this is the longest stretch of the year that the media gets to watch these practices. And this is the time that you get to measure that consistency. And so far, that's been the one positional group that hasn't shown much consistency beyond the top two guys, or top three if you include Edelman.
And along those lines, a lot of these guys are hurt. I mean, we saw Cordarrelle Patterson get dinged up yesterday and leave early. You mentioned in your scouting report of practice that Julian Edelman wasn't 100% the last couple of drills. On top of all the other injuries this unit has, none of them can seem to get on the field. I'm just wondering who's actually going to take the field on Thursday night at this rate.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair concern. I'm not sure what happened to Patterson because he was on the side field yesterday and he participated fully the day before. But, you know, you look at the other concern is, okay, you know what? Yeah, you're thin at wide receiver. At this point, you're still looking for more consistency in your depth at wide receiver. But you can get by in the first few weeks of the regular season because you have Gronk and Hollister and Burkhead and Michelle and White. But the problem right now is Burkhead hasn't been out there for a week with an undisclosed injury that, you know, looked like a minor situation a week ago, but we haven't seen him the last 2 days, not even on the rehab field. Sony Michel, there's still no direct timetable for when he'll return. Maybe it's as early as week four of the regular season, but who knows? Maybe it does bleed into the regular season. So again, you know, if you're going to compensate for a lack of depth or consistency at wide receiver, you can do it as long as the other positional groups are healthy. But when two of your three best pass-catching running backs haven't been on the field for a week plus, then you start to dig away at the strengths that you have in your roster.
Okay, Jeff Howe, in game one, Dante Hightower spent a lot of time on the field, like shockingly a large amount of time. And, you know, I was thinking about it. And actually, in fairness, I heard Troy Brown kind of mention something along these lines as well. He was speculating as to maybe the reason that he was out there for so long was because maybe they're putting him out there to showcase that he's still healthy in case they were potentially considering some sort of trade or some sort of move. Have you heard anything about that? And why do you think he played so much time in game one?
That would be as shocking as any trade that Belichick would ever have pulled off. I can't see that happening. Because there was times yesterday when Hightower was out there and a lot of the starters were on the sideline just to practice. And I started to think about it more and more. They're just trying to get his conditioning up and trying to make sure that, you know, after that long layoff with the torn pec and rehabbing the knee over the offseason, I think they just want to make sure that he is as close to game ready as they can possibly get him, knowing the injury history, the rehab history. And, you know, again, this is a guy who needs to go out there and have some contact. And I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, they, each side here, the medical, the player, the team, all sort of came together and said, you know what, let's just, you know, tinker with the approach. Let's do things a little bit differently this way. Because, again, I mean, yeah, there, you can showcase the guy in a game, but when you're doing it a practice in front of, you know, the fans and the media, that's totally different. And I think that would probably add up to suggest that, you know, you want to make sure the guy's right in terms of conditioning. It wouldn't make any sense at all to trade a guy like that because, I mean, what's your end game? You're already thin at linebacker, and he is your unquestioned locker room leader, has the respect of every guy in the room. That would floor me. I'd be stunned.
Well, Jeff, let's talk now about the twists and turns of Tom Brady's helmet. Tom Brady is wearing a different helmet. It is, some believe that this helmet shows that he's indeed looking to participate in NFL football in 2019. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, forget all the other signs that we've seen. If the helmet says he's playing in 2019, then we got to listen to the helmet.
Right. He is wearing a helmet that the NFL is going to deem mandatory in 2019.
Or at least the one that he's not wearing, the one that he used to wear is not going to be legal next year.
Yeah, and you can't even be grandfathered in.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Which is why Ron Duguay stopped playing in the NHL when they mandated helmets. He said,
can't cover that up. Salad. Can't cover up the cabbage, whatever you call it.
No, yes. He's like, listen, I don't spend all this time blow drying it to wear a helmet. Well, Jeff, so today's the last day you're going there?
Yeah, I mean, it's the last. So they still haven't. It's the last day for the fans to go and watch practice. I think Bill Belichick is still deciding whether or not the media will be allowed to watch practice following the Thursday's preseason game. You know, could be another week for the media. I doubt it'll be another week for the media, but that hasn't been decided yet.
All right. Well, Jeff, thanks so much for the time, and we appreciate it. You can read Jeff, Patriots beat writer for TheAthletic.com. Always appreciate it.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.
All right, you do the same.
Yeah, that was Troy Brown's opinion after the game.
Yeah, he said they're not trading high.
Well, I mean, once again, that's Troy Brown who, you know, I mean, the guy knows a thing or two about patterns in preseason games, and he knows people down there.
He also has to sit there and come up with stuff for 3 hours.
He does. I just thought it was an interesting theory. I thought it was.
They've done stuff I haven't expected in a million years.
I'm not ready to believe the hype on Juwan Bentley just yet. I honestly can't afford the trade.
Well,
just
think about how Jamie Collins was the guy a while back. I mean, everyone thought that he was the guy, and then look what happened.
Yep. No, they've done surprising things in the past. There's no question about it. There is no question about it. But if they traded Hightower, I don't. And whoever John just mentioned, I mean, it's hard to get
pick this year, getting a lot of accolades.
Well, listen, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
You got to get on that trade sooner or later. All right, here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich have diarrhea?
What do you mean?
He's got this clip he wants to play.
There he is.
All right. That was a non-bathroom situation?
No, not the runs. Editing stuff. Where I edit is so far away from the studio that I just have no clue. And the other one I could see you right. know, kind of the heads moving and stuff like that. So there's no intercom or anything like that that they can talk to us. So, yeah, every once in a while I'll get tripped up and miss the timing.
All right, no problem. Okay, so you were mentioning Troy Brown talking about the playing time of one Hightower.
Yeah.
And his theory on why. He played an awful lot in the first preseason game, and this is what Troy Brown said might be the reason.
Hightower raises his hand and says, why was I out there that long?
Sometimes there's, you know, you got to put people on the market sometimes, too, let people see what they can do a little bit, you know? I mean, there's always a possibility.
Did I hear that? You might
want to see what he could do in a prolonged period of time. You could say you want to knock the rust off of a guy, but then there's times, too, where he's like, why is this guy still on the field like that? Sometimes you got to show off your good sometimes.
Okay. So that's what Troy Brown was saying.
Okay, say they trade Troy Brown. Just say that they do.
Can you pull up the depth chart for me?
Yeah, I have it right now.
Okay, good.
All right. So your depth, you have Van Noy, Rivers, and Hightower as your starters. They still have David Harris?
Do they?
I don't know. He's still on here. I don't think they still have him.
I don't think so either.
You have Flowers. Like, in your secondary is good. So exactly what are you filling defensively? I mean, are you trying to bulk up your defensive line at the cost of Hightower?
Unless they've got faith in these young guys, I have no idea. Once again, this is something that I hadn't even considered until I heard Troy Brown say that. And, I mean, think about the Jamie Collins situation. As I said, I keep coming back to that because you want to talk about a shock. I thought everyone thought that Jamie Collins was the guy and he was going to be here for a while.
What happened with that is you realized that he was right. Remember right before that people were saying that he was freestyling on plays. This is before they even announced the.
See, I thought that came out after that happened. My memory's awful, but
no, no, it came out before.
I thought it was one of those things where after they leave, all of a sudden you start hearing these stories.
Okay. Cause
I remember
my recollection is that they were looking at film and they were seeing that he was freestyling on plays and that he was kind of all over the place. And again, if I could be wrong, but regardless, when you looked at it, he was. But the thing is with Hightower, as we just talked to Jeff Howe, is an important voice in that locker room. He's someone who is, you know, arguably their best defensive player and has been nothing but a team guy. Unless they're afraid of another injury, but you trade him for what? You don't trade him for picks. I mean, what do you trade him for?
Okay, by the way, I'm just quickly going back to Jamie Collins things because you raise a great point. I remember when the whole, like, hey, he's freelancing and doing all this stuff and when it came out and how much of a shock it was. This is just quickly, I pulled up an article about when he got traded. This is from Mass Live. And he said the timing was bonkers. The return was meter. The player was maybe the most talented on the defense. Remember, everyone would say that. Jamie Collins, most talented guy out there. It's the ultimate head-scratcher when it comes to Bill Belichick moves. The one working theory comes from Patriots executive Mike Lombardi, who took to Twitter shortly after the trade to argue that Collins had been freelancing on defense, ignoring defensive assignments and trying to make a big play on his own, much to the ire of the coaching staff. In short, Collins was not doing his job, at least as it was outlined by the coaching staff. So Lombardi, though, is out of the organization, which leaves his reasoning as just speculation. And then we even heard some stuff after that about his attitude in the locker room. You remember that? I mean, all these things came afterwards, which made it the ultimate shocker, which makes you think that stuff like this has happened before, where everyone got shaken up out of nowhere when you least expected it. And that's why I don't immediately dismiss what Troy Brown said, and especially that it's coming from Troy Brown. Offered that up as well.
And the other part of it is the Patriots have been shown the ability to trade anyone at any time. I mean, you traded Logan Mankins out of literally nowhere.
Right.
In the mid, right around now, by the way. And it took everyone by surprise. And one thing that I just looked up, and I can't believe, that Hightower is the oldest guy in the linebacking corps. He's second oldest front seven. He's 28 years old. And he's the oldest linebacker that the Patriots have.
And next to Flowers, do you like anyone particularly in that linebacking
corps? Landon Roberts has shown a lot of ability to stop the run, but not a lot of ability in coverage.
Right.
You know, and Van Noy is what he is. I mean, Van Noy, Christian Sam was a rookie. Landon Roberts, Harvey Longy was involved in that car accident and is still hurt.
You know, Dante Hightower, Nicholas Grigsby, Marcus Flowers, and the guy I was just telling you about, Juwan Bentley, who a lot of people seem to like here, the rookie fifth-round pick. That's your linebacking core.
Well, you're putting a lot of stock into a guy, a kid who's played one preseason.
No, he's just the story of the week.
No, I understand.
I mean, he played very well in preseason game number one.
All right, so Chris has a theory. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Hey.
I was just thinking, I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I was thinking, I don't know how many years Dante Hightower has left on his deal or anything, but imagine if we did a one-for-one trade, Dante Hightower for Le'Veon Bell. Because
do
our
it.
Defense is
oh,
weak
yeah.
as crap.
Let's do it. I make the call.
Let's start that
one for one. Sounds great.
Start that rumor.
Sounds great.
I like it.
Sounds pretty even to me.
Hey,
Patriots don't have the cap space for that, but other than that, it'd be great.
I think the Steelers win that trade, actually, to be quite
that's
honest.
That's right. They. The Steelers say, hey, get rid of our biggest offensive
team. You know what? Let's trade him for Aaron Rodgers. That way we got a good backup when Tom Brady finally, you know, falls off the cliff that we know he's going to happen.
Hightower's midway through a 4-year, $35 million contract, by the way. And, Kate, now that's relevant.
I'm sorry, what is it?
It's this is year two of a 4-year, $35 million contract.
Okay.
And if they get rid of him, it's over $13 million of dead cap.
I say Hightower for Gurley.
Sure.
Just make it happen. Call it. Belichick can do it. Once again, I think the Rams, they're the ones who went out on that. I mean, we're going to be the ones getting ripped off.
But the best thing is if you could trade for Le'Veon Bell and then sign him to a gigantic deal right when he's in his decline.
Yeah. when he's at the edge of being good to poor.
D'Antonio rode that kid in college like I've never seen. Didn't we go over like the amount of carries he had
yes.
in college?
Yes, yeah. it was over 320 his senior year.
Yeah, it was
junior
obscene.
His last year at Michigan State.
Yeah, it was obscene.
Yeah.
How much that kid
carried
the ball.
They ran him 30 times a game for 13 games.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, the idea that he has this much tread on his tires is a little ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, if you're a fan of the New England Patriots and you're heading down to the big preseason game, you might feel a little bit of a stick in your craw.
You'd be surprised how many people this is going to piss off. It's been on the news.
It has been on the news, but it should be on the news for just confusion. And the message makes me... I guarantee you, 90% of the people who see this billboard have no idea what it means.
That's
I'm not
fair.
Kidding you.
That's fair enough.
Okay, so there was a woman who lives here in town, and she's an Eagles fan, and blah, blah, blah. There was a bet, and she said if she got a certain amount of tweets, it doesn't matter why it's there. She afforded to put a billboard up a mile away from Gillette Stadium that's going to be there for the next week, and starting, it's I guess, yesterday and throughout the week. And it's supposed to be to razz Patriots fans, but I'm looking at this billboard, and I'm not kidding you, I can't tell what the hell's going on. Because in the middle of it, we all remember when Travis Kelce wore the, I think it's called a Swami outfit. It's the hat, and he's got the, you know, the big green shoulder things. It's got that, but then the face is not a member of the Philadelphia Eagles, and you can't tell what it is at the time unless you really look closely, but it's one of those dog masks. And then to the left, it says, Go Birds. And it has a player holding a Lombardi trophy, like catching it, who looks like kind of like an Eagles outfit and then a uniform. And then to the right, it's got a quarterback for a football team that you assume might be Tom Brady. However, the number says 33, but it's in powder blue and he's being tackled. And it says in like Times New Roman font, Go Birds, World Champs. And then in little letters at the top, which are hard to read, it says the best damn Eagles group, and then it has the person's Twitter handle. It is so damn confusing because, first of all, you look at it and you only have how many seconds do you have to look at a billboard as you're driving by?
Two,
maybe two, three. So you have to like process it. Great, this is just confusion.
Traffic, yeah. If you have
not
to
a
be
mile
stuck
away,
in a light,
not a mile away from Gillette, not a mile away for a preseason game. Did you see the crowd at the preseason game one? No one was there.
There's no, the road there sucks.
Well, but this
regardless, people are going to get pissed about it. There's no question about it.
Yeah. Maybe just
I'm a special kind of person.
I'm just frustrated about how much, if you're going to spend money to do it, you completely swung and missed. I don't know what the hell's happening.
It served
here.
Its purpose. We're talking about it. It was on the news, and it's going to piss people off.
Well, I was trying to read some of the comments of people who. Like some of the people
bothered to go to the Twitter,
a defending the wall.
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of thing that's going to piss people around here off. a certain segment of, especially people who go to preseason games.
You make an excellent point.
Yeah, that's going to be,
And here's some of the comments you're getting. Hey, did you play the Panthers in the Super Bowl? Once again, it looks like a Panthers uniform.
Right.
And then it says, is this some sort of weird satire? It's so busy and awkward that I'm guessing most people drive by and are either confused or ignore it. That's exactly what I was saying. Help, help, I don't get it. Is that the Muppet Swedish Chef in the middle? Who's Tony Dorsett waving to? That's right, because it's number 33. He's got his arm in the air. More people are just tweeting her who are confused by the whole thing, believe it or not.
They still are tweeting her. All right, we will be back in just a moment.
98.5. Toucher and Ritt.